Morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, Brett. Morning, Dean.
Good morning.
How's everybody?
Morning.
Living the dream.
Learned. Woke up.
Uh oh.
That's so not fun. Me.
Where's Miss Courtney?
Nope. Anyway, so. What's on your mind this glorious Monday morning?
Nothing on my end.
Nothing here. I've got a more open week. I'm going to make up for serious lost ground this week. So,
So how is segmentation going?
I think the actual segmentation's done. It's the calling of the people and getting in front of them now. That's those conversations I'm finding are good, but they're a lot longer than what I thought. And there's a panic that when you start into this, clients panic right away. Oh no, are you keeping me? You know.
Right.
Yeah.
It's interesting. You can do a complete reset now if you want to. I mean, one of the things to do is to reframe the relationship. That this becomes more of a partnership than it is, you know, student teacher or I work for you or broker or whatever you were. You get a chance to reframe the relationship. And make it something where they are more responsible than they've ever been. I think that's really important to understand that you've got an opportunity to do that. So here's what we're going to do for you. And they go, wow, you know, multi-generational planning, full implementation of the planning process through 12 scheduled appointments, 4 reviews, 2 of them in person, rapid response to your problems, 1-hour response, 24-hour resolution. They go, wow. You know, say, how does that sound? They say, that sounds great. How are you going to be able to do that? It's because we're restricting ourselves to less than 100 clients. And they go, oh golly, am I one of them? And you go, yes, based on our relationship and all that you bring to it and the fees that you pay us, you are part of that top 100 team. And they're like, okay. That's when you tell them that so that's what we're going to do for you in the future from here on. And here's what we ask for you in exchange. And literally you can ask for anything you want. Okay? One of the things to do is to make sure they understand that you're reframing their responsibility in terms of appointments. So you wouldn't be late for your doctor's appointment, your dental appointment, your appointment with your hairdresser even. So one of the things we ask is that when we call, you're there. Okay. And when we send you the agenda, that you read it ahead of time. And if there is something that you have been thinking about all month and writing in your folder, we'd like you to add that to the agenda so that we know what's on your mind. Because that's going to be the first question you ask every month. By the way, before we get into the agenda, what's on your mind this morning? Just like I do. It's a great question. It's an open-ended question. It gets the other party to start talking instead of you doing all the talking. And if they've just had a new grandchild or they've had something really important in their life, you know to pause your agenda and make sure that you cover that subject. You know, I've decided to retire early. We're getting a divorce. You know, you never know what you're going to hear. And so you've got to be incredibly sensitive to whatever it is that's really on their mind before you get into your agenda. But getting them to do what they haven't done. All right. Larry Wilson said that he said, Rob, your job is interesting. So your job really is to help clients grow up and make better choices. And I said, what do you mean, Larry? He said, well, most people don't deal with the reality of their life, that they are going to, you know, that life is finite and they will die, but they don't want to deal with that. So this is that moment where you can say, and this is what else we expect from you. You know, that financial planning we've been talking about doing. Now we're going to do it. All our clients will have a financial plan because that's our roadmap on how to help them reach all of their goals regardless. And people say, well, I don't need it now. I'm retired. You need it. You have grandchildren. You have other things. What are your legacies going to be, et cetera? So, you know, getting them to fill out the paperwork, getting them to do that second to die policy, getting them to do long-term care, whatever it was that you think they should be doing that they haven't done, this is a chance to reframe the relationship and get them to do the things that are in their best interest long-term. You can raise prices. I mean, today, you know, I think that's up to you. But if you've been the low-cost producer, which I doubt you are, this is not the low-cost producer process. This is a premium price, premium service that you deserve to get paid for. So, yeah, take advantage of that opportunity to get them to be compliant. I love the analogy that they're the CEO of the company and you're their CFO. You're their chief financial officer. We're going to have a monthly board meeting, just the two of us, and we're going to have an agenda, and then I'm going to send you an executive summary, which would be similar to the minutes of a board meeting. And they go, wow, yeah, well, we're taking this really seriously. So reframing the relationship as you're offering this new service is terribly important because that's part of what makes your life better. Now, interesting, Dean, that you mentioned the fact that the conversations are longer. The reason they're longer is they really value your time. So one of the things that you do is say before you start is, I've got another appointment at such and such. Okay, I've got another appointment at 9:30. So I've got to get off at 9:30, but, you know, if there's anything that we need to cover after that, I can always call you back. But when you do that and you have an agenda, everybody adjusts their brain to, okay, we got to get to some of this stuff. Yeah. Okay, so you control that. That's up to you. If you want them to, if you don't want to do that in the beginning because you, you want them to talk and you want them to get comfortable with this, that's fine. But as you get busier, you're going to need that 10 minutes. You know, if you've gone 50 minutes with them, you've got to get off because you got another one at 11 and you need that 10 minutes to do your executive summary for the, you know, because otherwise your executive summaries will pile up and then you'll forget what they said. So, right. Just control your time. And that's part of what you can talk about in that reframing the relationship conversation. I mean, that's a fine time to bring it up if you choose to. Say, you know, it's great and we're going to keep our conversations to less than 30 minutes. Which is fine, right? You can get it all done if you want to. Anything from the video that
Courtney has a spy behind her in the picture there somewhere. Huh? Courtney's got a spy behind her there.
Uh, Anything from the video that made you want to bring up, or anything that you felt was interesting, or?
I have a question, Rob. In the video, you recommended, it seems like you lean pretty heavily towards suggesting that calls be made in the morning and the afternoon be left open for everything else, as opposed to, for example, maybe a full day of calls, or even a full couple weeks of calls and then 2 weeks to do everything. I guess what I'm asking is, how did you, or why did you arrive at calls in the morning and everything else in the afternoon?
I just had to pick something to frame how to do it. But I had one team, that two gals that worked together, and one of them made calls in the morning and the other one prospected, and then they flipped. And the other one made calls in the afternoon to clients and the other one prospected. It was their personal preference. I've had people do 4 days of calling and Friday prospecting. I've had people take, like you said, 2 weeks of intense calling and then 2 weeks off and prospect for 2 weeks. I've had them prospect in the morning. I've had them prospect in the afternoon. I've had them. So it's totally personal preference. But when you're setting up your schedule, keep in mind you have 4 times a year, you have close to a 5-week month. And you can use those to take vacations, to prospect, to catch up, to, you know, maybe if you're going on vacation, you know, that can be a week of catch up. It's up completely up to you, but just know you've got that extra time that isn't part of your regular schedule.
Hey, let me ask Barbara. Barbara, how does Lev do it? Remind me how Lev does it.
Up until recently, Lev just did Tuesdays and Wednesdays. He would just jam pack those days. But here at the beginning of the year, he had me redo it so that all of his calls are in the first 2 weeks of the month, which are very full. And on average about 3 to 4 days a week. And then his last 2 weeks of the month are free for whatever it is that he wants to do, vacation, off schedules, prospecting, portfolio analysis, et cetera.
And to the best of your knowledge, is that working well for him? Does he like that?
He does like it. I was a little fearful that, you know, he would be Skyping me saying, call so-and-so and tell him I'm running over. But he has done a great job of managing the time, as Rob was, you know, saying just a little bit ago. You have to kind of be forthright about what time you have to discuss, you know, whatever it is they want to talk about. But it's working well.
Thanks. Rob, just one other question I had about that. So I did have one of my client calls last week. Essentially, the guy said to me, Brad, there's no way I'm going to take a call once a month. He says, I want to meet with you twice a year. I want that to be in person. That's more than enough. You're just not going to get any more time than that. So, I mean, and he's a good client and he pays well. So, I'm assuming that the answer would be, well, you know, that you make an exception in that case, or?
Well, I think, you know, we call that a yellow light. It's not a red light. It's not a panic, but it's a yellow light. It's a question. You know, how much money does he have?
Oh, it's not that big. I probably $700,000-$800,000.
Okay, so it's not a, you know, multi-million-dollar case. So is it mostly a rollover and that's it?
Oh yes, yeah. It's both him and his wife's rollover IRAs.
Do you talk to her?
No, she was taking a nap.
But and you never talk to her, or do you talk to her?
Oh yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. She's when we have meetings, they're both there.
Right. That's I highly recommend that by the in-person meetings. What I do in those situations is I schedule him without telling him.
Okay.
And because what he's afraid of something. Okay. I don't know what it is. He's afraid that you're going to try and sell him something, that he's going to trade too much. There's some fear there that or it's going to be a complete waste of his time. Okay. So, I mean, all of those are scary, right? From your point of view, because you'd think if I'm willing to take time with somebody, or he's afraid you're going to charge him more if you take more time, like he does with a lawyer or anybody, right? So he sees it as a threat to him for some reason, or a waste of his valuable time. I think what you have to do is you have to prove to him that you're not going to sell him something and that you're going to call with valuable information. So when you think about it, you know, you don't have to make this. In this case, this would be a 5-minute call. And that's it. Just want to check in this month and make sure that you understand that this and this is happening, or, and this month we're educating our clients on this long-term care. And, you know, this month we're analyzing everybody's, you know, you're familiar with the asset side of your balance sheet. Now we're going to just take a minute and analyze the liability side of the balance sheet. Like every company, you know, there is a plan, a point and the ability to borrow money. You have not, I don't show that you borrow any money anywhere. Is that the case? Right. How about your children? Do they borrow money? Do they need mortgages or loans or lines of credit? Well, what do you mean? I never thought about that. What are you talking about? Okay. So, there's some education that go on, even with people that have a $700,000 rollover, that gives you credibility in terms of that you're doing 1242s with everybody. And that's part of the brand. You know, you want the brand to be consistent. Now, that doesn't mean you knock the door down in order to consistently deliver your brand, but you try and make it so that what you're offering is universally accepted as having real value.
Okay.
And I can only tell you that whenever anybody says that to me, it's always a yellow light. It says either they don't see value in what I'm offering, or they're scared, or there's a threat here of some sort.
Okay.
So it's just consistently, always a, so it says opportunity in some ways. All right.
Hey Rob.
Yeah, Dean.
By the way, can you guys hear me better? Does this sound better? I switched over to my new microphone.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, okay. You look professional.
You look like you're getting ready to host a radio show.
Yeah.
I know. Very cool.
Baby. Yeah. Do most FAs, I mean, I'm thinking of, as I get into the rhythm and meeting people in person, I'm thinking maybe just take entire days and do face-to-face appointments, because some people really can only come in the morning, or at least they're trained to come in the morning, but I prefer afternoon appointments. What is there a...
Yeah, I mean, the schedule makes it such that if you have 100 clients, there are 5 appointments a day. There's 1 in person, 1 phone review, and the other 2 are just regular 1242s.
Right, so, but I'm thinking of stacking my in-person appointments like 4
back to
in
back
1 day.
To back.
Or, yeah. Do guys do that?
Yes, but you don't want to make yourself crazy.
Yeah.
Because in-person meetings are take more preparation than anything else. And so if you back-to-back-to-back them, you're going to be like, oh, God. You're going to be exhausted.
Well, they wear you out, yeah.
They wear you out. And, you know, and you've got to – and this is where I highly recommend that you go back and think to yourself, how long is my average in-person appointment? And time out. I'm not going to do that anymore. Okay, your average in-person appointment should be no more than 50 minutes. And the reason is because you've got 12 other times to do things for them. It's like the annual review for your teammates. If you do the leadership piece right, you're meeting with your teammate once a month about their how they're doing professionally, personally, et cetera, and all their goals. We haven't gotten to that, but that's part of the roles and responsibilities. So you don't need to really even have an annual review because you're having literally a review every month. And so it works so much better. Communications is 10 times better. You don't have all the panic about, oh my God, an annual review, you know. What's he going to say? What's he going to think? No, none of that. That goes away. And the same psychology goes away with the two in-person meetings. They're more, how's the family? How's everybody doing? Checking in, opportunity for introductions and referrals. Because you've done, you kept them up on everything. It isn't the big time to check everything and make sure that you understand what your performance is and asset allocation and rebalancing and all this other stuff. No, because you're talking about these things all the time now.
Right.
So you have a much deeper, better, more important relationship. It's kind of like just visiting over the holidays when you get to see your kids, you know. It's that kind of thing versus a chance to, you know, the time to do. I had one guy that had a $60 million client and he met once a year with him. It was crazy. I said, that gives him 11 other times for somebody to steal that account from you. Right? 11 other months.
Yeah.
It's too risky. That's part of it, by the way. We're putting up this wall of competence around our clients so that they don't have a chance. Anything that comes up that upsets them, or we know about it right away. And that's why I worry that with a client that doesn't want to talk, you could go 3 months and all of a sudden get an ACATS. I'm not saying that happens to you or would happen to you, but it happens to lots of people. And they call and you say, What happened? Well, I was upset over this, and now it's too late. You know, it's like gone. So we don't want that distance. We say out of sight, out of business. And with Skype and with Zoom and all the rest of this, you can have a virtual meeting. I mean, anytime. And I think it's terrific, by the way. I mean, you get fatigue from Zoom, and you get, you know, Zoom fatigue or whatever. But the reality is it really is much better than just the phone call, I think. You just get a chance to, you know, see their expression and see if they react and laugh and, you know, all that stuff, which you don't get to see when you're just on the phone.
You're saying substitute.
Rob, one other question.
Go ahead, Brad. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. I was just going to ask a quick question with regards to scheduling. So let's say that you've got a client plugged in at 9 a.m. on a Tuesday. Is his face-to-face meeting also 9 a.m. on Tuesday?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's the first Tuesday of the month at 9 a.m. for the rest of his life, unless, you know, you change it.
Okay.
Good question. And he's got the full hour, even though you may take 10 minutes that day. That hour is reserved for him. Because when he comes in for his face-to-face, you got that hour. So you don't, I mean, I've had some people do half hour calls and I said, what happens when you do the in person? You know, you're going to bang into your 9:30, you know, that's not fair. So then you got to adjust and, you know, you want to do as little rescheduling as possible. You want to have it set and then, and like Leb did, you can change it, but you're probably going to have to wait till the next year to change it.
Yeah.
Right? Because you got to reprogram, you basically have to reprogram the whole thing in terms of dropping them in.
Okay.
You can wait every 2 or 3 years if you'd like to, Brad.
Well, it's kind of why I'd like to get it right the first time so I don't have to reprogram. That's why I'm asking all the questions about how what everybody else does. So.
Good question. The other one is traveling. I don't know if you guys travel, go to Florida to see clients or go to Arizona to see clients.
Yeah.
But if you do, then what you say is, okay, what does that trip look like? Well, if I go on a, let's say I theoretically just say you traveled on a Sunday, got there Monday morning, you'd have a 9, a 12, and a 3. And then the next, on Tuesday, you'd have a 9, 12, and 3. So you could see 6 people in Phoenix or in Naples, and that, so their regular times then would be 9, 12, and 3.
Okay.
Okay. And so you can't really, you know, you say, don't, this is doctor hours, right? These are your office hours. You're in surgery. Other times, these are your office hours. So you tell them when your office hours and what times are available. You can give them some choices. They can make it 9, 12, or 3, but it's Monday or Tuesday, 9, 12, or 3.
Okay. Got it.
Okay. In that case, in those cases, if it's, if you're going to do back to back to back for 2 weeks, then it's, you know, it's gonna, you're gonna need, you know, you're gonna need to think about it. You're gonna need to do all those, you got 20 calls, you got 20, you got 10 days, so you gotta have 10 calls a day instead of 5, right? Because you have half as much time. So for those 2 weeks, you'd have 10 calls every day and 2 in-person meetings. So that, then you say, well, maybe I don't want 100 clients.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? Then you say, what if I had 70 then? What would that look like? Well, it would look like a, you know, 20% less. So that's pretty good. Yeah. Anyway. So before you do it, think about that's 10 appointments a day. It's too many. I've done 8. It's really tiring. Okay. I've done, my average is probably 6, but I love it when it's 4. So, you know, being in this, you know, semi, working the schedule I do, which is really 2 days a week of calls. And then if I travel, it'd be a Friday or Thursday or Friday. And you know, this is 12 years I've done this. So, you know, I'm 74. And so when somebody says no to me, I'm like, yay. So I did the other day, I did this VIPSA thing with one of my good clients who's been a client for years now. And he said, I still don't get, you know, I don't seem to be able to do this, how to ask for introductions. I said, well, let's just role play it. And I said, so, you know, it's value, important, permission, suggestion, advice. So I said, you know, John, what is it that you value the most? What are the 3 things that you value the most in working with me over the last couple of years? And he said, this, this, and this. Okay. And I said, that's great. Now what I'd like to do, with your permission, is do a little bit of brainstorming on who you know that would value this as much as you have. Okay? Somebody in your office, let's think of it as three concentric circles. People that are the closest to you, people you talk to all the time that you know and you think would be automatically a good fit for this consulting experience. And then people, you know, on the peripheral of your office that you know pretty well, you think it'd be a good fit. And then people outside of your office, FAs that you know around the country that you like and trust and met at meetings and you think they'd be a good fit. So we went through it. I got six introductions, right? He gave me six names. I then asked to, I said, let's go, okay, so let's go back and prioritize them. Who needs this the most? We did. And then I profiled the top person. And then I went to the introduction piece, which you guys will all learn, which was, all right, now that we've identified Will as a great candidate for this service, how would you suggest that we meet? It wasn't, you know, have him call me or I'll have him call you or whatever, how we usually do it. It's how would you suggest that we meet? And he was like, well, I don't know. I said, how about a conference call? He goes, okay, conference call introduction. So we did that and we met and, you know, he wants to sign up and I'm going to have him as a client, right? And I'm like, oh, that's great. It worked great. Now I've got another client. Oh, rats.
I just hate it when that happens.
I got six more prospects I got to follow up on. So.
be careful what you ask for, yeah.
Right. That's why I don't do it very often. But it's funny. It works. It really works. It's a great process, but nobody uses it. So I'll teach it to you guys. I hope you use it. It will work, but it doesn't work, of course, if you don't use it. Like so many things that are good ideas. And sometimes you say to yourself, is the reason I'm not doing this is because I like what I'm doing now and I'm kind of happy with, you know, I like the idea of supernova, but having 10 appointments a day, I really don't like that very much. So sometimes we have to analyze what it is that's really our motivation. And, you know, with you guys, I understand it's important that you really drive some business, you know, for the next couple of years, because that sort of sets you up for what your practice is worth and where you might level off. And it's much more fun to level off doing 4 or 5 million than it is doing, 2 million. So, anyway, I digress, but that story kind of cracks me up because it's about me. and I was always, Dean will tell you, I was always a maniac. I mean, it took me a long time.
We never said that about you, Rob, as far as you know.
To go from completely obsessed, crazy, you know, driving every day to win everything because it was so fun and because I was a nut, to being a little more relaxed and enjoying my life and a little balance, which is really nice, actually.
I remember the meeting we had in probably 01, bear market number one we've been through, and we were talking about stress. And you said, "John, let me tell you what stress is. Stress is your landing gear is, you know, you don't know if one wheel's down. You're trying to put a jet down on a boat in the middle of the ocean. That is stress."
Right. This is nothing.
So I kind of put it all in the, yeah, okay, I get it. That's more stress.
I remember in 87, I had a commodity department at that time, and I had a professor at IU who had gotten into commodities and he was losing his butt on the whole thing. And I had the trader on one phone. I had my boss on another and I had the client in front of me trying to decide how to handle the account. And basically my boss said, do what is right. Do whatever you think. And I said, to the trader, sell them out, boom. Next day, of course, he would have gotten completely crushed. And that day, Marianne, my assistant, said, how do you do that? I said, same thing. You know, I said, losing an engine on takeoff, that's when you got stress. Okay. This is just money. I'm not killing anyone. You know, I'm not a surgeon going oops. It was great training for the job I was in, which was a blast. But I remember that morning, one of the managers went home. He left his ship. I thought, you went home? He said, yeah, I couldn't take it. The stress was too much. Think about it. I mean, that's what made me crazy my whole career, understanding that people just didn't have the training to be in jobs that they were in, or they didn't have the whatever. But, you know, Captain Lee is last off the ship, not the first. So that's stress. Anyway, cute. All right. So one of the things that we didn't do was roles and responsibilities. Did we? We talked about it, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And did we get to that? Are we ready for that?
Well, Dean and I have come up with what we think are the roles and responsibilities. And okay. Since he's the vice president of leadership, I'm going to let him take it.
I'm the director.
Director.
Director. Sorry, director. Right. Director.
Well, we thought that Larry would be the director of planning, since Larry, that's a lot of what his job is, and we plan on really cranking that up a lot more. And then as far as implementation, Brad and I both would do that. As far as director of brand, that would obviously fall to Barb and Courtney in their respective books. And then Brad will take on marketing and growth, and I'll be on leadership.
Okay.
We had a pretty lengthy discussion about that. Didn't mean to do that in a vacuum with, as far as Barb and Courtney and Larry are concerned. It just kind of fell natural. I think I would hope everybody would agree on that.
On the Indiana side, any concerns about that with Barbara or Larry?
Yeah, not at all.
Okay. Barb?
Yes, sir.
You okay with that?
Oh, yes. Yeah, okay. Sorry. You couldn't hear my head shake.
That's right. Okay, now what I'd like you to do over time here, you don't have to do it today, is designate one of those people as the spokesperson for that responsibility. Okay, they can be equal weighted, but I want one person to speak for implementation and one person to speak for brand. Okay, so that's up to you guys, but otherwise nobody's in charge. And that's always an issue.
Let me ask you this though, Rob. So I think the reason, for example, that Dean and I each take on the role of implementation is that our thinking is, so with the Indiana clients, that would be me. With the Illinois clients, that would be with Dean.
Sure.
But with respect to the eventual book that Dean will take over, I'm just thinking in terms of my book. So for now, I'm the director of implementation. He's the director of leadership, but for his Illinois clients, he's got to be the director of implementation for that.
Theoretically, but there's a policy that you establish, right? Of, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to get rid of our tails that might cause us poor performance. And we have the 24-month calendar that we both have to agree on. And then I'm in charge, or you're in charge, of making sure that we're actually implementing that 24-month calendar, that it appears on the agenda, that I'm in charge of training and making sure that that gets done, or so forth. Otherwise, no one's in charge. Okay.
Okay.
So you see what I'm saying? And that, and when it comes to brand management, there's operations, there's service, there's 1242. There's a lot of things that are going on when it comes to that. And there's got to be somebody that is at least the spokesperson for this is how we're doing. This is the percentage of clients that we have that are getting 1242. You know, we have, you know, 40 butlers, but, you know, they're all children of our best clients, and I'm monitoring that and maintaining, by the way, the minimum and the maximums, you know. So there's the supervision piece that we need. You know, we brought in 10 accounts, but, you know, three of them were under our minimum. So what are we doing, guys? You know, why did that happen? Well, okay, if there's no supervision or there's no accountability, then you'll start sneaking accounts in that are under your minimum because it's just human nature.
So, Rob, that kind of begs a question that I was thinking about earlier. I mean, is there ever a touch point where, you know, as we hopefully grow the business and bring on, you know, these Christian business owners and what are on our goals, that we do that touch point to say, okay, we're going to have to say goodbye and segment again?
Sure. Regularly, every year, just like you should raise your minimum every year because it's a mathematical, the minimum is a mathematical, process. You take the total number, you take your total production and divide it by the total number of accounts. Your accounts will never change. Your production will theoretically go up every year, so your minimum, your absolute minimum should rise every year, and your target minimum should rise every year. So that's something that, just like you adjust for rebalancing of portfolios, you want to rebalance for minimums. So that's part of the annual responsibility of the brand manager, to just do that math.
Rob, I do want to just go for a second, go back to the 1242 implementation though. I mean, there's in that example, I mean, Barbara will only be able to speak to the 1242 of my clients, and Courtney will only be able to speak to the 1242 of Dean's clients, or they won't be able to share that responsibility or have one voice.
No, but there's no reason that you can't consolidate your numbers. You know, all it takes is an email, and just here's where we are.
No, okay.
You see what I'm saying? It's just, you know, email me every month and tell me, you know, what percentage, and I'll just report on it.
Okay.
Because what will happen is we're going to go to this. We don't have to do it now because we've got a lot of training and things that are going on right now. But when we get to the monthly conversations, you know, we go from weekly, 12 weeks of pretty intense training, to monthly call where we actually, you report in based on the five stars. So director of planning goes and tells me about the planning, what percentage of your accounts have a plan, how are we doing on planning, have we changed any of our planning process and so forth, implementation. Our investment process is such and such. This is what we're doing. This is our 24-month calendar, and our focus this month is this, and we're all over it, right? And brand management is, yeah, everybody's getting 1242s. Everybody's blah, 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 blah. You know, we're one-hour response, 24-hour resolution, director of leadership growth. This is where we are in terms of our game board. Our game board is up and running. We're keeping track of our activity. And this is how we're doing. And then director of leadership tells me, okay, this is where we are versus our plan in terms of our assets, our revenues. This is, you know, the final bottom line, right? That's what we That's what we get from the scoreboard at the end of the week, at the end of the month. How are we actually doing versus all our conversations, right? This is the bottom line. So we, you know, that's, so we raised our minimum, you know, we've got a new FA that's going to be taking over in our stair step to the stars. So when we reassign clients, he's already supernova trained and he's got a different minimum and we're adding him to our team without adding him to our team, you know. So that's what you do in those roles and responsibilities. And you'll find the structure is very powerful in terms of accountability. And that's the, you know, I used to call it plan, process, and discipline. I call it plan, process, rituals, and accountability now. And without the accountability, you miss the biggest leverage of supernova. Supernova with accountability is will change your life. Without it, you'll do fine, but you won't have the amount of success that you deserve. We all need accountability. We crave accountability. All the, you know, our whole lives, we want somebody to just pay attention to us and frankly help us as children to understand, you know, and when we do something well, we want somebody to say, hey, I noticed. Well, the same thing is true of your team. You may not even like the idea of it, but it's so important to your teammates that they get the kind of recognition they deserve for the work they're doing. And that's really what people want. They want to be a part of something really important that maybe can change the world, and then they want to be appreciated for it. And without accountability, you can't appreciate them. Okay? So don't think of it, think of it as appreciation versus accountability. Maybe that's a better word.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
What was that, Rob? You said you went from plan, process, discipline to
plan, process, and discipline to plan, process, rituals. See, because we each have the same amount of discipline, but some people seem to have so much more than others, and it's because they turn that discipline into rituals, and then. Accountability is the final piece that's, I think, been missing from my coaching for years. And it's the one thing that everybody craves, but they don't like it, but they crave it. If you can understand that.
Yeah.
So, Rob, I have another question. You mentioned, too, that we have our advisor that we're handing clients that don't fit into our model anymore, that person be supernova trained. Brad, do you think that we should be inviting that person to these meetings?
Well, I don't. I mean, my hunch is that Rob would want to be paid for that. So I mean,
it would really.
It would be up to Caleb.
Aware of the dynamics of the pay process, so forgive me.
Yeah. No, it's actually a really good question. And Brad, I don't mind. You pay for my time. You can bring somebody else in for a little bit. You can drop them off. You can do whatever you want. It's your time. So
okay. You
can think about that. And, you know, I've had some teams reorganize and then hire me again and train new people and so forth, but it's completely up to you guys how you use that. And there's no more, effort on my part if we add a person. So.
Okay. Good question, Barb.
Yeah, it is a good question.
Well, I guess my thoughts are that, you know, I would hate to, you know, we get just so darn big for our britches and we start giving this person more and more accounts and they may have, you know, become accustomed to the new process and the new brand and then they, you know, fall into that category where we do need to hand them off and they don't stay because they're not continuing to get that supernova experience.
You are absolutely right. And it's a big risk.
Yeah.
And it makes you feel guilty. And so therefore you don't hand them off. So you want to be doing that. And, you know, this is something that you guys can negotiate too. If you say this sub team over here that we'd like to have trained needs training, and this is going to be such a productivity enhancer for our office, but gee whiz, Mr. Manager, why don't you, you know, help us out here by setting them up to be coached, and then, you know, we can coach them. As you say, then I get paid. But, you know, maybe they pay half and the management pays half because they see the big picture of what's going on here. Because this is a productivity enhancer. This does raise your productivity. It does leverage your time and makes you more efficient. So there's, and you pay for it once and you keep it forever. So the real cost over time is ridiculous. It's nothing. You know, it should be. We should get a percentage of 10% of all your 1%. See, forever.
Sound like Mr. Wonderful on Shark Tank right now.
Right. I want a royalty.
Kevin O'Leary always wants a royalty. O'Leary always wants a royalty.
You know, that's exactly right. They talked about that with kids, you know, and I think they actually have done it, where you can own. It's like an indentured servant thing where you pay for a kid's education and then he owes you so much of his salary for a period of years. It's kind of, it is indentured servitude. But I don't know where they ever went with that. That was that, I heard about that and then I never heard whether it actually got off the ground. But, you know, everybody's trying to make money all different ways.
Yeah, the kid I would sponsor would major in Russian literature or something really useful.
Right, and then, right. Okay, anything about this week we talked about just really the client meetings, and I think we covered it, guys. Anything else? So you guys just decide on who's going to be actually reporting on each of the roles. And like I said, this will become more important as we go on. It's not as important now, but you can see where we're going. We're building one team and thinking about it as one team. And I understand you're in two separate things, doing two separate things, but in the end, it will be one team, so we might as well start thinking of ourselves that way. Next week, we begin really talking. We've kind of worked our way now through, quote, segmentation, 4 weeks. Now we get into organization. We'll review the folders, even though we've talked about the folders. We'll review what's in the folders and that you're getting the folders are being built and that you're using them, et cetera. And, you know, how you want to do it electronically from home. But I want you to understand what's in the folders and why we have every single page in there, because every page is important. And at this point, we don't have an electronic version of it. So we have to think in terms of folders still. Okay.
Okay.
Anything else? Nope. Good.
I just want to get a microphone like Radio Dean over there.
He just looks so professional, doesn't he?
I know. It's I'm still just wearing shorts though, so don't get too.
Yeah, me too. That's okay. you should have CBS on there or something. Very cool.
I think KDAN or something like that.
The gold ones were all sold out.
That's great.
CIB.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, this home office stuff is for real. You know, Herman Miller makes the best chairs gamers. You know, for gamers.
Yeah.
They sit for.
Me too.
Right? Do you have one?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that's great. And so I've got a stock group, and I tried to convince them that this home office thing was going to be a go and they should buy Herman Miller. I still think it's a good story, and they're the best at what they do. So along with microphones, chairs are really important. So I think it's still a good story. All right. You guys have a wonderful day, and I will talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Rob.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.